Right, well, joining us once again for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning, how are you?
Very well, yourself?
Well, it's nippy, but the sun's shining.
It's a bonus then, really. If it's, as long as the sun's shining, it doesn't matter what the temperature is, I suppose, really.
Yeah, well, they don't say at the North Pole, so... make a difference in Yorkshire.
Plenty of stuff to go through today, KB, as ever. Let's start with the price of football, which is this sort of annual thing that the BBC seems to do. And it's quite interesting. It throws up some very, very interesting figures. Arsenal, once again, the most expensive matchday ticket at £97. And there was an interesting stat I saw that you can buy a season ticket at Barcelona for the same price as two match day tickets at Arsenal. Staggering.
Yeah, the problem is, with all these things, first of all, I have to remember, the first question is, who did the survey? And that's the BBC. They're very good at investigating other people's affairs, but not too good at investing their own. One wonders why, for example, the licence fee for a TV set should be £145. Why isn't it £45? And you can always also take selective information to mix and match to suit your preconceived argument or decision, and you know, let the kind of facts fit the decision. And the other thing you have to remember is that there are other things you can ignore completely when taking them into consideration. The first thing is you've got this lot that want to say no more than £20 for any away match ticket. Well, first of all, why should away fans be let in cheaper than home fans? Secondly, you might be able to apply that in the Premier League, Premiership, where they have about over nearly £3 billion a year from TV and sponsorship. It's a bit different to the Championship, and League One and League Two. So that's the first thing. Secondly, you have to consider every club has a different cost structure. The first thing, let's remember, is that 20% of all admission prices are VAT and go straight to revenue. So, for example, if you're charging £20 for a ticket, then it's only £16 that goes to the club. People forget that. But the other thing also, you have to take a club like Leeds United. When the ill-fated Yorkshire Consortium took over Leeds in 2005... they inherited a bankrupt club and thought they could turn it round. But they bought it on borrowed money. There's a point to this story, an important one. Bought it on borrowed money. But they gave personal guarantees on the borrowed money. And Leeds got relegated, so they lost the Premiership huge fund. Then they had to repay that money to get rid of their guarantees. So what did they do? They sold the training ground, and they sold Elland Road. That cleared the debts with all their personal guarantees. They were home and dry. It also meant that Leeds United was absolutely buggered. But more importantly, when they sold the grounds, they did a rent agreement for 25 years. And the rent agreement has the most punitive clause in it I've ever heard of any lease. The rent goes up 3% per annum. So that's 3% compound. So if they did the deal in 2005, today, 10 years later, the rent's gone up by 30%. But it's 3%, so it's probably gone up by 35, 36%. And I estimate, I was thinking about this morning, I estimate that the rent for the training ground and Thorpe Arch and Edinburgh combined can't be far short of £2 million a year. And if you think £2 million a year divided by 23 matches, home matches, then that's, it's around about roughly £80,000 per match rent. And if you take the average gate at Leeds, let's say 20,000, a bit more than that. All right, let's say 20,000. That's another £4 a match. So your £20 ticket after VAT and rent means you're only paying £12 a ticket. That's all the club gets. And it gets that on 23 games a season, and that has to pay for the cost of running a football club 52 weeks a year. And it's interesting, all these people that are waffling away, we've got the Football Supporters Federation, and we've got other people's politicians, and of course we've got the lovely LUST, Leeds United Supporters Trust, pontificate about the ridiculously high priced level that define the Ken Bates era. Yes, up to that. Don't forget they hadn't increased, when I came in, they hadn't increased the prices for 3 years. And Leeds United were 24 hours from going into, liquidation, going out of business. And that was all because of the ticket pricing policy at Leeds United, which don't do anything that's unpopular, and give away loads of free tickets to scroungers, hangers-on and freeloaders, and somehow we'll muddle through. So that means that you have to have external funds, i.e. benefactors, who put money into the club. And the last Yorkshireman put anything into Leeds United, I think, was Leslie Silver, by way of substantial sums. But the same LUST, who haven't put a penny into Leeds United in the last 10 years, to my knowledge, want the club to be successful, to get promoted, to buy players, to improve facilities, to keep down prices. Then you have to ask yourself, what do the members of the Leeds United Trust do for a living? Have they ever run a business? Gary Cooper didn't. Well, he ran two unsuccessful ones. But apart from that, he worked for Hull Council. So before you start finding fault with people's policies and claim about this and that and the other, ask yourself, first of all, have you any experience to pontificate on what you're talking about? Have you ever tried running a business yourself and making a profit? Leeds United made a profit every year, from 2007 to 2011, after the administration. And at the end of the day, football clubs have to make money. Otherwise, they go out of business eventually. Significant. Even Manchester City made a profit, even though it's owned by them, one of the richest men in the world. And Chelsea are now making a profit. Because if you want something to continue, it has to be funded. And at the end of the day, who funds it? Right, you can get your sponsorship, get your commercial activities, and this, that, but it comes out of admission prices, which means the fans pay for the club. And put it bluntly, so they should. Because it's their club. They should fund it. So the complaints, the comparisons, to get back, I've done a bit on Edinburgh, but to get back to generalities, the fact of the matter is every club is different. And every club's cost base is different. I can remember years and years ago when Portsmouth were in difficulties. I'm now talking about 50 years ago or so. And at one time they closed down the youth team, close down the academy and everything, stopped the reserve team, and just had a squad of 16 players. And the idea was they would just play on the first team, and the 16 players would be kind of bonded together, blah, 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 blah. And off they go. Well, after a year, they had to give it up because they didn't do very well. They didn't get the support. Fans, tendencies fell off because they didn't have a club to support. And then they weren't a club, not a team. So whereas Premiership clubs probably could and should look at their prices, Football League clubs have to be more realistic. It's always easy, like Mr. Corbyn and Mr. O'Donnell or whatever his bloody name is, number two of the Labour Party, spouting off. Oh, and Nicola Sturgeon as well, NSP, spouting off about we mustn't do this, we must spend more. That's incoming. Great. Who's going to pay for it? Your grandchildren? Your children? Your grandchildren? Is that fair? Something you want in this life? Pay for it yourself and earn it. Or do without. So I think this comparison by the football, by the BBC, is meaningless. And congratulations to Mr. Cirino for reducing your season ticket prices. We know that some of his players have taken reduced wages. But we know that Sam Byram has refused to take any reduced wages. So I presume we'll be losing him at the end of the season. At the end of the day, well, if you get what you pay for. If you don't pay for it, you haven't got a chance of getting it. So although Mr. Cirino made himself popular, reducing season ticket prices, we'll have to see how it works out over the next year. Remember the £4 of every ticket, including old age senior citizens, old age pence, and kids, was all £4. But I wish him well. We shall lead United well, but we shall see.
Okay, someone from Leeds United, that was with Leeds United up until a short while ago, Neil Redfern, back in a job, and he's taken over the reins at Rotherham United.
Well, I'm sure the best wishes of everybody connected with Leeds United and support Leeds United and the wider Leeds United are almost unanimous in wishing him absolute well and hoping he's very, very successful. I thought he was a very good coach under all impossible circumstances. And with his enthusiasm and hard work, I think he's got a good chance of doing a good job at Rotherham United. And I wish him well. And if Lucy Ward, his partner, joins him, then Rotherham United have got a double team, double whammy. Very good. Lucy was the unsung hero behind the academy. Tremendous in teaching work ethics to the kids, which stood them in good stead, whether they made it at Leeds United or they had to go out in the wider world. So good luck to both of them, and good luck to Rotherham United. And congratulations to the chairman, who I think made a very wise choice.
Some more congratulations really need to go out as well, KB. Norman Hunter, Leeds United legend, has been inducted into the National Football Museum Hall of Fame.
Well, he, of course, was a great, had a great part in the Don Revie greats. And his nickname, as you know, was Biter Lee Hunter. One of the terrible jokes I heard about at the time was he went home to his wife after one game. His wife said, "What's the matter, Norman? Well, you look worried." He said, "I'm worried about this leg I've got." what's wrong with it? He said, no, it's not that. I don't know whose it is. That's how strong a tackler he was. And he deserved his reputation. But although he was tough and hard, I don't think he was a dirty player. So whether he would survive in the namby-pamby atmosphere of today's football, I don't know. But being inducted to the Hall of Fame, thoroughly deserved it. And when you think of how many Leeds players were in that Hall of Fame, that in itself is a tribute to what was the greatest team ever for Leeds. And Don Revie, great management performance.
And we're handing out even more congratulations, KB.
Yes, I mean, Leeds, City of Leeds are doing great, isn't it?
Very, very good.
Leeds Rhinos.
Yes, exactly.
Doing the treble. And not only that, I mean, they've lifted the cup for the seventh time. So congratulations. It must be party time in Leeds at the moment. Leeds United, hopefully looking for another win. It would be great, by the way, if they did, because it gave Brighton the league leaders. For that, the rugby league doing well, Yorkshire cricket achieving good things. So it's exciting in Yorkshire. What we don't want is Nicola Sturgeon as the head of devolved Yorkshire. That would really spoil it. But apart from that, congratulations, lads. Have a great time.
Moving on to international football, KB, and England, Wales and Northern Ireland have qualified now for Euro 2016 in France, and Republic of Ireland in the playoffs this weekend. So, again, congratulations to majority of the home nations, but specifically as well, Wales and Northern Ireland. It's going to be fantastic to see them in a major tournament.
Well, I think it's tremendous. I think over 50 years since Wales last got to an international tournament, and I'm delighted. Of course, they have a very small base to draw from, and I think Coleman's done a great job as their manager. I've always liked him. I think it's, when you watch him on TV, he's inspirational without being self-praising, and he talks sense in a quiet, dignified way. I'm delighted for him. Northern Ireland, I don't know the manager there. He's obviously done a marvellous job. I'm very pleased for him. And then we've got Republic of Ireland. Again, a small country, but tremendous to have got so close. And we are now also qualified by way of the playoffs. Although they have a tough group, I think we've got a good chance because the Irish got something about them. Scotland, well, in many ways, least said, soonest mended. At least we won't see Mr. Salmon and Miss Sturgeon prancing around. Can't take some of the glory. But this should be fun, 2016. We really look great for it. And then it's only in France. So that's not far to go. Let's hope Mr. Platini, oh, he won't be there now, thank goodness. Let's hope that we get a fair share of ticket allocation. Because, as we know, the French always deal. So that there'll always be plenty of tickets around, unofficially, as well as officially. Let's hope the FA, the respective FAs, devise a fair way of allocating them to the ordinary fans who've been so loyal to them in Europe in the qualifying competitions.
Moving on to some other news, KB, and it's come out in the news over this last week that legalising cannabis in this country could generate hundreds of millions of pounds a year in tax, and especially as well cutting costs for the police and the prisons. A government report has found. We'll get your views on this, but it does mean that obviously there's a big petition at the moment, around about 220,000 signatures.
Well, I have to start off by saying I've never taken any drugs in my life because when I was a kid I wanted to be a professional footballer, and by the time I found out the age of 20 I wasn't good enough, it meant that the urge for taking dabbling with drugs would pass. I've never been tempted since, so I have to start by saying I know nothing about drugs. but I, not being a politician, I won't want to pontificate on it. But if it is harmless, then let's legalise it and tax it. I agree. That's the golden politician's rule, isn't it? But it'll be for better people than me to be able to comment on whether it is or not. But that's a big decision that the medical profession must make. But if it, I know in America, some counties or states have legalised it or decriminalised it. I think some states you can smoke it legally, but you can't trade in it legally. So I'm not quite sure whether that's a good hybrid or not. But if it is legal and they think it would not do any harm to the youngsters, then I agree. Make it legal, but ban it in public places. So that means some genius will invent an e-cannabis. But tax it, yeah, tax it like hell. Bring money. But more importantly, if you're going to tax cannabis, let's tax sugar. Sugar is one of the killers. It's a constructive obesity, where clogged up the National Health Service. Now that would be a nice contributor to the state's finances, and all that money could use to pay off the debts, and not be ploughed back into general benefits. So there you are, good idea, a good thing to be debate, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of debate in the weeks and months to come. But I'm afraid I have to excuse myself on it because I know nothing about cannabis.
Well, something you do know about KB as we finish up on, of course, the Radio Yorkshire Executive Box 44. And we've got another chance for people to be at the Leeds United Blackburn Rovers game.
Yes. And it's proving very popular, I know. And a lot of people are enjoying it. Their unusual day out. So instead of standing in the cop, and it does mean, of course, you'll lose a lot of intelligence on. You're not listening to a lot of intelligent conversation if you're not in the cop. But instead of being in ordinary seats, enter this competition, costs you a quid, plus your network charges, and for that, you go and stay in the luxury lounge, got your big flat TV screens, you watch the early live games on Sky and the late live game on Sky, plus up-to-date scores on the screen for half-time. And the game itself, you sit in the best seats in the house. All accompanied with a nice meal, good food, good company, and usually a great host. So over to you, down for the technical details.
Thanks, KB. Yes, the Leeds United Blackburn Rovers VIP RY Box 44 if you want to get in for this. And
That'd be a cracking game too.
It's going to be a cracking game, actually. It's one that I think Leeds United actually might win this one. You need to answer this question. Which of the following players have scored for Leeds United but not Blackburn Rovers? Is it A, David Batty, B, El Hadji Diouf, or C, Paul Robinson? If you think you know, you need to text DAB and your answer, A, B or C, to 84383. Your text costs £1 plus your standard message rate, and you need to enter before the 27th of October 2015, and winners will be chosen shortly after. All the T's and C's can be found at radioyorkshire.co.uk.
Of course, you can have as many goes as you like.
Indeed, yes. Text costs £1, your standard message rate.
You forgot that bit, didn't you?
As long as you want. As many as you want. KB, as always, an absolute pleasure, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thank you. Bye, Darren.